Parshas Vayakhel. So this week we have a double header. It's a big Shabbos. Parshas Vayakhel, Parshas Shkolim. And Shkolim is typically Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Adar Beis. The Shabbos is really what brings together, unifies the two Adorim. Okay, it's like a Parsha of Shaduchim. Why is this Parsha the Parsha of Shaduchim? Okay, I'm going off the topic now. Why is this the ultimate singles weekend? Why? Because fish, dog, what is the mazel of dogim?
Adar.
Adar, that's why all the signs you see about Mishnichnas, Adar, Marvin, Besimcha, fish. How many fish did Hashem, why from all of the Chadashim, why from all, if we have to add another month to the calendar, why did Chazal select Adar? Why don't we add a double Tishrei, a double Cheshvan, a double Kislev, a double Av? Why?
For Pesach before that.
Right, no, that's why we add another month. But why do we have to add the month, why do we have to add Adar? Why can't we add another Nisan? Why can't we add another... So you're saying at the end, that's when we have to make the decision to determine if we need to add the month of the year. Okay, there are many, many ends. But the question is a good question. Why did Chazal specifically pick Chodesh Adar to pad to the calendar to make up for the problem of Chodesh Aviv? So I sort of say for something very interesting. That's because we have to look at the mazalos. All of the mazalos are single. They're all alone. Fish, when Hashem created the fish, the mother of all fish is the taninim hagadolim. Vayas elokim is ha tanin. What does it say in the pasuk? Twins? Tom to Omen is twins, but that's the whole point is in 1 month you have two together. That's the whole point of Toimim. Twins that two, if you're going to break it up and it's not twins. The essence of twins is they have to be in together. If you're going to take the month, which month is Toimim? Which month is that?
Elul.
Elul? No, it's Psula. It's Psula. Sivan. If you're going to take twins and you're going to separate them, that's not twins. The whole point of being a twin is you're together. Two are together. Why Adar? The answer I saw, and I said, I don't know if this is how serious this word is that by the that in the creation, the fish, there were two taninim, the zohar and the kaver. What does it say in the beginning of the Torah? On which day of creation did Hashem create? Did Hashem create the fish? On the fifth day. Let's take a look at the pasuk over here. Yishritzu hamayim sheretz nefesh chaya. The oif yoifeif al oretz al pnei riki hashemayim. There should be fish and there should be birds. And what does the pasuk go on to say? Vayivrelukim es hataninim hagidolim beloshen rabim. Is there any other creature that was created in this fashion where you have two? The ace in such an explicit mention. The ace called nefesh chaya harameses asher shartu amayim liminehem. And what does Rashi say? Rashi on this pasuk says, what happened to the two fish? Hataninim dogim gidolim. Dog, okay? So don't make any mistake and say, you'll tell me a chiddush that the taninim are not a fish. The taninim are fish. Because that's what it says in the Yotel. A tanin is a different type of creature. It's, I don't know, you'll tell me some fancy word and the scientists will fataych. A tanin is not really a fish. It's a mal, whatever it is.
We don't know that.
No. We don't know what a tanin is. That is clear as day. We don't know what it is. All we know is we have only to work with the words of Chazal. Rashi, Aleph Beis, tells us that taninim dogim gidoilim shebayam. He calls them fish. Okay, so I'm not making this up. They're called fish. Chodesh Adar is mazel dogim. All the signs, you see the little fish. And what does Rashi say? Uvedivri agada, who? Liviyason, uben zugo. Hashem created the taninim hagidolim. He created two big fish. He created the Liviyason and uben zugo and his mate, his partner, his zivuk, his shirach. And what happened? Shebera'am zachar unikeva. And Rashi says something shocking. V'horag es ha-nikeva. Hashem killed the nikeva. Took its life. V'haragas hanikeva. Umolcha. Umolcha. Rabbi, please. Umolcha latzadikim la'asilavai. And it was salted away for the future la'asilavai. She'im. Yefru v'yirbu lo yiskayim ha'olam bifnehem. The world cannot exist if they would multiply. Adar, we only have one Adar. Why? Because there's only one fish that's still alive. The other fish has been salted le'asilavai. When Chazal have to add another month to the year, and this other month we add to the year is in order. What happens to add another month to the year? You're trying to bring the world back koydem achet. Why is there only the lunar calendar is off by 11 days? Why? Because Hashem diminished the Levana. Whatever all that means. Okay, this is not for now. It is Hashem made the Shnei Hama'oiros Hagedolim, and the moon complained, and therefore, for complaining, you have sinned. You don't go complain to Hashem. What are you complaining? You were punished. He was diminished. It was diminished. Es hamor hagodol lememsheles by yes hamor hakotoin. So it started out to gedolim godol katan. We went katan, katan, katan. When it's the end of the phrase, then it's katan. When it's part of the next, when it's samuch, then it's katon. Okay, Baal Kriya, Mr. Weiss, I'm sure he knows that. Katoin and Katan, the rules of Katoin and Katan. But what is the point? The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why the moon is off is because the moon has been diminished into the Mar HaKatan. And if we were, when Mashiach will come, the Pasuk says that the day will come when the moon will be restored. These are Divrei Agada, whatever this means. When we add another month in the year in order to restore the cycle that the moon should once again equal the sun, it's a dogma, it's a token of la'asilava. A year, once in a while we have a leap year and we add an extra month, it's a very special month. It doesn't come around every year. It's a dogma of the world returning to a state of perfection. The moon committed an avera. It complained to Hashem. It was punished. And therefore the cycle of time is a bit off. When Mashiach will come, that is a time when the world will be restored to its perfect state. The moon will be restored. There will be no difference between the moon and the sun. The Shnei Hama'oyos HaGedolim. Before, in the world in its perfect state, there is no death. If there is no death, there is no makom for the Leviathan to die. What does it mean Hashem killed the Leviathan? There is no such thing as death. Adam only sinned. Adam, death only came into this world after the Chet Eitz Hadas. So how could Hashem bring death to the Leviathan on the fifth day of creation, when Adam was not yet born, was not yet created. So you can answer, I don't know, you can answer whatever you want to say, but similarly you would say, well, in Echnami, Hashem did not take the life of the Leviathan, he let the Leviathan live a little bit. He let the Leviathan have a good time. After Adam brought into this world the chait of the Eitz Hadas, and it was decreed upon Adam that he should die, with Adam's death, then Hashem said the Leviathan has to also go. Because if the Leviathan will continue to exist, the world cannot exist. And what was your original plan? Well, my original plan was different because that was before the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Everything was different before the original plan. Hashem didn't set up the world for failure. He didn't create the Leviathan. He asked us to take their life. So now here's the point. We come to Chodesh Adar. Adar is Mazel Dagim. Regular on a regular year, we live in an imperfect world. There's only one Adar. It's Mazel Dagim. There are two big Dagim in the world. The Taninim HaGedolim, the Zohar and the Nekeva. The Nekeva doesn't exist. Hashem was Horagas and Nekeva, Umolcha, La'asalava, La'tzadikim, La'asalava. It doesn't exist. But when we pair the year with another Adar, that represents perfection. That represents the time when there was no chait of Adam HaRishon, when there was no such thing as death, when the moon did not complain. We have Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. Now we have to have another fish. So the fish, the mazel of Adar Sheni, is the zivug of the fish of Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon is a dog. Which dog? Will the dog please stand up? Who is the dog of Adar Rishon? It's the Leviathan. That's Adar Aleph. Who is the dog of Adar Beis? It's the Ben Zugoi of the Leviathan. Adar Beis is the Techiyas HaMesim of the Ben Zugoi of the Leviathan. It's the Zivuk. It's the Zivuk. So therefore, I'm trying to say over here is, this Shabbos is the big Ufraf. The big Ufraf, because the double Adar means...
It's a fishy story.
The Zivug. It's a fishy part. It's the Zivug between this Shabbos, Rabbi Yitzhak, is the link. Is the link between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. We're holding now in Adar Rishon. We're Mivorech in Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. We will announce, we will bring in Adar Sheni, and this, it's the Zivug, it's the Chibur of Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Adar Rishon is the Leviathan. There normally isn't an Adar Sheni, because Hashem was Horag, the Ben Zugoi of the Leviathan, put it away. But when you add another Adar, you're giving cover to the Levana. You're restoring the aura of the Levana. You're doing something which is symbolic of what's going to be Le'asilav of Ahoya, Ar HaLevana, Ar HaChama. It says in the Pasuk, V'ahoya Ar HaLevana, Ar HaChama. It's going to be Shnei HaMa'oris HaGedoylim. And then, if that's the case, there's no such thing as death. No such thing as death. There's no need to be Harag as the Ben Zugai. There's a Chibur. There's two dogim. There is zivugim, a zivug of the ultimate zivug. So therefore, and this Shabbos is when we make that announcement. It's the Shabbos before the Chasana, before Rosh Chodesh, and therefore this Shabbos is the big ofuf. It's the big deal. I see you don't like this word. All right. It's the big singles weekend. You think Shabbos Nachamu is singles weekend? This is the big singles weekend. The island doesn't go for this. What can I do?
So they should go dance like
the Mecholos. The Mecholos. Don't give anyone any ideas. Okay. Okay, now let me tell you another part, which is much more serious. Not that this is true. This is Purim Torah. It's not Purim Torah. This is good. This is a solid idea. It's a little bit like morale type. But I think it's rooted it's a solid idea. All right, let me tell you something else, which I think also is a little more serious. But I think it's also this.
The Makar from the
Kailal or else? The Makar. This is the Kailal's part. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Let's go to the beginning of the parasha. Vayakel Moshe. Rashi is obsessed here with grammar. Rashi turns us off with this first Rashi at this pasuk. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas bnei Yisrael vayem aleihem. Since when does Rashi ever begin the parasha with a lesson in grammar? Vayakel Moshe. Moshe comes down from the mountain. Hifil means that it happened by itself. That Rashi goes further. Let's see what he says. He caused it to happen. He did not do it himself. He did not go from door to door, knock on the door and say, come, give me your hand. Let me take you to the town square. Let me take you to a central location where I want to meet. Imagine Moshe knocks on the door, come with me, here, give me your hand. And you drag 3 million people, one at a time, to bring them into the middle. But he didn't do that.
Just put it on WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, he sent out a text, okay? He let it be known. He let it be known that he wants to address the tzibur. And everyone on their own, he'd have to lift a finger. Moshe wants us to talk to us. We're here. L'shoin hifil. Hu hishel. She'enoi oisef anoshim biyodayim. Elohein esofin al pi diburo. He let it be known He wants to address the tzibur, and they came. Al pi diburo v'targumo v'achnish v'yakel Moshe doesn't say v'yikohel Moshe v'yikohel, which would mean that Moshe himself.
Be
that. It doesn't say that. It says v'yakel. Moshe did it.
It
says it's the good. Now, question. Next, okay, that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi felt very important that we should know that. Very important, that's come out the first lesson to learn in this week's parasha. Okay, question. Everyone asks this question. The first thing to learn in this parasha about Shabbos. Eilech HaDevarim, what do Moshe want to tell Klal Yisrael? I want to tell you about Shabbos. I want to teach you the laws of Ashir Kilali and Hilcha Shabbos. Eilech HaDevarim. Asher tziva Hashem la'asoy soysom sheish es yomim te'asem olacha uvayoyim ha'shivi yiyah lochem kodesh shabbat shabbosel la'ashem kol ha'yisvei molacha yumas ulo'yisvei la'aru'esh b'chol moshvei sechem yiyah ma'ashabbos. A ton of halachas here. Everyone over here, darshins, there are la'amites molachas, eile the gebatshev, eile looking over here in the balaturim. A lot of halachas, lo'yisvei la'aru'esh, le'lav yotzos, le'chalik yotzos, Shabbos Kodesh, a sheer klali in the laws of Shabbos Kodesh. Now, as he introduces Shabbos Kodesh, he tells you, Rabbi, don't forget, make sure you have a job. Make sure that you don't go to kolo, and make sure you have a good job. Sheishes yomim te'osem melacha. Make sure you work for 6 days. Make sure that all of your labor is done during the 6 days of the week, and on Shabbos you will rest. All right, fine. You should know that during the 6 days, you're allowed to. It should be done. Work is permitted. Period. Now, is this the first time Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael Shabbos? Is the first Shir Klal in Hilchah Shabbos? No. When was it? There were many times. But let's go back to one of the many times, the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, there were many times. The Midrashim, Ramazim, explicit mentions later on in the Torah. Parashat Kisisa. I want to go to one specific mention, and that is, let's go to the Aseres HaDibros. Can't get better than that. Aseres HaDibros. So let's go back to Parashas Yisro, and let us see how he describes the giving of Shabbos. It's very simple. We have Shabbos, Zohar, Es Yoyim HaShabbos LeKadosho, Sheishes Yomim Ta'avod, V'yosis HaKol Mulachtecha, Why in the Aseres HaDibros does Moshe say, command them to work in a very direct fashion? Sheishes yomim, for 6 days, ta'avod, pick yourself up and go find a job and work. Work. Make sure you work very hard. Here you are by Matan Torah. Here is the Shechina. The Shechina is here. There was never a greater moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. The Shechina is here. There is no koilel. No one is supporting you. Hashem is here. I don't care Hashem is here. I don't care the Shechina is here. It doesn't matter. Sheishes yomim ta'avod. There could not be a more explicit command to go work. It's a command. Here, everyone is quiet. Everything is good. There's no Shechina. Everyone's beginning. You know, everyone is... Moshe says, I don't have to work. Sheishes for 6 days, sheish yomim te'osem melacha. The work should be done. Who should do it? Your wife. Who should do it? I don't know. The maid. Someone else. Someone should do the work. Moshe is not commanding the people, you work. He's not commanding them to slave away. Sheishes yomim te'osem melacha. Melacha should be done, or it could be done. I'm not telling you, you should do the malacha. Let the malacha be done. Who asked this question? Everyone asked this question. This is the Veltz Kasha. What's the answer? I didn't really see an answer that was satisfied until what I'm going to tell you right now. The answer is, let's go back to Matan Torah. How do we start? We start by Yakel Moshe. Did Moshe actually go from person to person and take them by the hand and bring them to Har Sinai? No. It doesn't say Vayikohel Moshe. Vayakel Moshe. Let's go back to Matan Torah. How did the Jewish people arrive at the bottom of the mountain on the morning of the sixth day of Sivan? Did Moshe send out a message, a text, a call, a robocall, and everyone just came? Is that how it happened? They were all sleeping. They were puffing away. And Moshe knocked on the door. Excuse me, I'm giving you 10 minutes to get yourself at the foot of the mountain. Otherwise, 100 push-ups. Next guy. Get yourself there in 5 minutes. Next guy. I don't want excuses. How do I know what I'm saying is correct? Because it says in the Pasuk, by Har Sinai, right as they came to Har Sinai, it says in the Pasuk, Vayotzei Moshe es ha'am likras ve'lokim min ha'machaneh. It says explicitly that Moshe was Vayotzei. Okay, he took each person by the hand. What? The word vayotzei means he took biodayim. It doesn't mean he caused it to happen. He let it be known. He made a decree. He let it be known that he wants to give the Torah. He actually took the people by the hand, by the hand, and he brought them to the foot of the mountain. Vayotzei Moshe asom likras lekim min ha'machaneh. Vayisyatzu besach v'sarim. It's not me. But he took them by the hand, and he brought them to the mountain. Why did he do that? Because they were sleeping. They didn't appreciate it. That's the difference between Parshas Matan Torah and between Parshas Vayakel. In Matan Torah, people were not willing to do Moshe Rabbeinu's work. They were selfish. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants something? Good. You want it? Good for you. Do whatever you want. We're not going. Moshe had to take them, bring them to where he wanted them to be. You don't want to do my work? So you know what? No one, Mida Kineged Mida, no one is going to do your work. You will have to work. You will have to work yourself. You yourself pick yourself up and go sheishes yom tavot. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go and drag everyone out of their bed to come to the place of assembly. They came on their own. They did Moshe's work. Moshe needed something done. It was done. You care for someone else. You do someone else's work. Mida kineged mida sheishes yamim mida kineged mida sheishes yamim te'asem melacha. 6 days your melacha will be done. Sheishes yamim te'asem melacha. For six days your melacha. Mr. Snyman, it's very disturbing when you sit in the back. The other people in the back. You say, "Right, Mom, it's right in front of my face." It shows that like this is garbage. It's just. It's mamish. The chutzpah's maisa gets worse and worse every day, all over the place. Sheishes yamin. The other shul don't have to come. You don't have to come. Yeah, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Sheishes yamin te'asem melacha. So 6 days te'asem melacha. The work can be done by someone else. You do not have to. I stay up the whole night preparing. You know, it's like. Who wants to come here? I'm not interested. Really, it's like. There's a certain civility. And not just you, it's just, people do the whole thing. It's in the back. Let's do a little more discreet. So the difference over here is the difference between when you do it directly and you do it as a midah, kineged midah. When it comes to Matan Torah, by Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael was willing to do the work of was not willing to do the work of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Mida Kineged Mida, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "You go do it yourself." Sheishes yamim ta'avoy. Your own work. The point over here is Moshe Rabbeinu is asking people to do something. I need something done. I need something done. So the people say, "I don't care. I don't care. Do it yourself." So Moshe, Vayotzei Moshe, saw Moshe himself. He picks himself up. He picks up, he goes to every single house, he takes the people, he drags them by the hand to Har Sinai. He drags them by the hand to bring them to Har Sinai to bring. So you don't want to go help me out, you want to make my life difficult for me, I have a job. Hashem told me to go bring you to Har Sinai to give you the Torah. You don't want to make it easy for me, you want to make it hard for me. I have a mission, and my mission is a holy mission. You want to make it difficult? So you know what? Your mission in life will also be very difficult. Sheishes yamim ta'avod, sweat. Go do all the work yourself. Go out into the field. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu has to do exactly the same thing. I have to go give you a message. Vayakel Moshe es kol adas b'nei Yisrael. I have to gather the entire Klal Yisrael to teach you a lesson. So how does Moshe can do it? It'll be a repeat performance, like by Matan Torah. I'll have to go from door to door to fulfill Hashem, what Hashem told me to do, to bring the people to the assembly place so I can give over their mission. Here, Klal Yisrael has a different attitude. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a mission. Hashem gave you a job to do. We're going to help you get that job done. You're not going to have to go and be mevazeh yourself and go from door to door and drag people to the place of assembly like you did by Matan, by Har Sinai, and Vivayotze. We're going to make it easy for you. It's going to be here. Vayakel Moshe. It was Lashon Hifil. It was done. He let it be known that he needs this done. And people came to help him and to make sure that it was done. Therefore, Mida Kineged Mida, when you have a role in life to do something, you have a role in life to do something, Sheishes, so the rule is, so what's going to happen? The work will be done for you. Sheishes Yomim Te'osem Melacha. You're not going to have to slave over the malacha. You'll also have help in getting your malacha done. You look very disturbed. Yeah.
One question. The Sarah Sadivus words were Moshe's or Kosh Baruch's?
Hashem's.
So how did you
derive... The whole thing is Shrim that Mitzvah Tocha Groina.
Your comparison between the two seems to imply that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to insert his Lashon in the Sarah Sadivus to accommodate the condition that the fact that he had to bring the Jews...
No, it's not. Everything in the Torah until Chumash Devarim.
So Hashem was sending off Moshe. You had to bring him. I'm going to make sure that they understand that they're going to have to do their own work. That's the drasha. That's part of the drasha. Is that you? What I'm getting at is what you're drashing is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said Tava, blah blah blah. That's the sense of the drasha I got. And I always thought the word Tavod is Kadosh Baruch Hu's word, not Moshe's word.
Hey, this is not my word. The difference is the Aseres Hadibros in Parashas Kis, in by Matan Torah, and the Aseres Hadibros over here are different forms. Here it says Te'osem Melacha, and there's Tavod. So why saying, the difference?
All right, is it a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's acquiescing, agreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu? Is that what you're saying? The one extra thing out there is these are the words of Hashem, not Moshe Rabbeinu's words. How does one take it and say, oh, I'm using the Lashon Moshe Rabbeinu, Tavod here, because I had to bring you here. Oh, Te'aseh, you came on your own. I'm going to allow you to use the word Te'aseh. So what you're implying is that Kodesh Baruch himself is maskim to the change in the Lashon. Is that what you're saying also? Is that part of the
Lashon? I don't understand. There's a difference. All I'm trying to say is, by Matan Torah it says the word Ta'avoit. Here it says Te'aseh. Correct? Now, I want to match, why is there a change between Tavod and Te'aseh when you sing exactly the same thing? The difference is because by Matan Torah it says Vayotzei, and here it says Vayakel. By Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu had to take the people by the hand and bring them to the mountain. Why was that necessary for him to do so? Why couldn't the people make life easy for him and just come themselves to the mountain? They didn't care. You, Hashem gave you a job to do, so do it. You want to do it, so go take us by the hand and bring us to the mountain. Mida keneged mida. You do not want to help someone else, so when you have to go and work in this world to achieve what you need, you'll have to do it yourself. No one's going to help you. But here, in this parasha, when Klal Yisrael wanted to make it easy for Moshe, Moshe had a job to do. And Moshe's job was to bring the people to the mountain. And the people wanted to make it easy for Moshe Rabbeinu by coming themselves to the mountain. You're making my life easy? So you know what? Mida keneged mida, your life will be easy. When you have to achieve what you need in this world, the work that you need to do to achieve in this world, someone will help you do it. You won't have to do it yourself. You'll have a degree of the lightening of the severity of the curse of Bezeya Sapecha Teich Alecha. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a mida keneged mida. Yes, yes, absolutely. But it's more than anything more because they were more cooperative. That translated into a lessening of the curse of Bezeas Apecha Toich Alechem. In the Aseres Hadibros, it's very harsh. Sheishes Yomim Tavod. It's almost like a curse. For 6 days, you're gonna work, you're gonna sweat. It's a curse. Uvayoyim Hashvi Shabbos Shem Elokecha. Here, it doesn't say the curse. It says Sheishes Yomim for 6 days. Te'osem Melacha. Work can be done. Malacha. It doesn't say you have to do it. It doesn't say you have to. Work can be done. Why is here we're going easy? Why? The answer is because you make my life easy. Hashem will give you a bracha that your life will be easy. You want to make my life difficult? Then your life will be difficult. I once told you there was a bracha from Rav Shalom Kamenetsky. He gave a shita balabatim about what happens in the next world. And one of the funny, very funny things he says that in the next world, no one has elbows. There are no elbows in the next world. No elbows. If you don't have elbows, how do you eat?
The other guy sees you.
The only way you can't eat, if you want to eat, you want to be nana from the eat.
Hand in the plate.
Someone else has to feed you. I can't eat. I have no elbows. I can't. Someone has to. So who's going to feed you? If you in this world feed someone, then you'll merit. In the next world, someone will feed you. If in this world you don't feed anyone, then you don't deserve. In the next world, someone should feed you. In this world, you can fake it. You have elbows, so you can feed yourself. But in the next world, there are no elbows. You need to come on to someone else. The way you come on to someone else is the reciprocation. And that reciprocation only exists here in this world. That's similar to what it says over here. Yeah.
You would think that coming to Har Sinai was much more important than coming over here.
And yet, by Har Sinai Vayotze, it says clearly, there's a Chazal that says the Moshe and Mamash drag them to the mountain.
So what inspired the Yidden to understand this the second time?
Because now it was after the Chet HaEgel, and they saw the Chorban, they saw what happened, they matured. Over here, this story by Yaakov Moshe is a very great degree of maturity since Matan Torah. But Matan Torah, they knew from nothing. They just came out of Egypt 50 days ago. Hashem is giving them the Torah. What do they know? 50 days ago, they were worshipping idols. And here, they're getting the Torah. Hashem is coming to speak to them. They didn't know how to deal with it. They were frightened. They stayed by the mountain. Here, there was already, they built the Mishkan. They didn't build the Mishkan. Different opinions exactly when this tzivah took place. It was after, clearly it was after Yom HaKippurim. They went through a very long, elaborate process of teshuvah since the Egel. They have grown. They have matured. They have developed. They're now in a whole new level. And therefore, being that they're in this new level, now they appreciate that Moshe Rabbeinu, our leader, he needs something. Let's make his life easy. We have to go and sit in the house and wait until he knocks on our door and says, "Oh, come to us." You got to wait until they come. They beg you to give a few dollars. You can't send a check in the mail a week early. We have to wait until Moshe. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe, let it be known. I want you by them. I want to speak to you. They're there. And they have to listen. You are so kind to make my life easy, to make my job easy. So you know what? Mida keneged mida, when I say now you have to work, you know what? You're not going to have to work. Someone's going to help you. Someone's going to do it for you, to a degree, whatever that means. Sheish yeshyamim te'oseh melacha. Not like the curse of Matan Torah. Sheish yeshyamim ta'avod. You're going to sweat. It's good to work, but there's a degree how far it goes. You lose your mind. You go, this too much pressure, too much stress. So this I think, is they go, it's totally zeb, zeb, ayakel goes together with this. Okay, let's go to another vart. Running out of time. Let's jump into the parasha. Okay, this is not a real vart, but it's just a ha'ara. We have a very interesting sugya of the marois hatsoivais that the women brought to the Mishkan. They brought the mirrors. Rashi elaborates, when women brought to when they wanted to construct the kiyar, they needed brass. In Parashas, it's over here. It's over here. The Maris Hatsoivais. Let's take a look over here in the Rashi. The Rashi is in Pasik Ches. Okay, it's Pasik Ches, Perik Lamid Ches, Pasik Ches, on page 275 in the article. Vayas Ace Hakior in the Cheshes, the Ace Kanoi in the Cheshes, Bimarois Hatsoivais. Asher tzavu pesach oil moed. Rashi says, "B'maros hatzavos benos yisrael choyu biyodin maros sheroyos b'chen kishen miskashtes." They have mirrors in which they would use to adorn themselves. The af oisen lo ikvu milchavi l'nidvas hamishkan, and they did not hold the back. V'vuhu mos v'choyu mois Moshe b'chen b'mnei sheasuyin li'etzahara. Moshe detested these mirrors because they were used for the etzahara. They would beautify themselves. And what are you beautifying yourselves for? Where Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, do not reject these mirrors. It was only through these mirrors that the women were able to be ma'orah, to arouse the men to have more children in the Midbar, and that's what created the tzvois in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Hashem's overruled Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were brought these mirrors, and they were used for the kiyar. Now, we have a very beautiful piyut. In fact, by most people, it's the most famous piyut, the most beautiful piyut. It's the highlight of the day of Yom Kippurim, Mare Kohen. And we describe in very great detail the beauty of the Kohen Gadol, B'shosh Sheyotza Mibes Kodesh HaKadoshim. Manedar Hoya Kohen Gadol Kishayotza Mibes Kodshei HaKadoshim. And then we go on to enumerate all the different elements, all the different beautiful mylois, the beautiful mylois of the Kohen B'yom HaKippurim. Now, one of those... the question is, and how do we conclude each sentence? Mare Kohen. What does it mean, Mare Kohen? The appearance of the Kohen. Who saw the Kohen when he came out of the Kodshei HaKodashim? Well, when he came out of the Kodshei HaKodashim, he came into the Heichal. And when he came out of the Heichal, he came into the Azara. If I'm not mistaken, there was no one in the Azara. No one in the they were machmir that no one should be in the Azara, even between the Mizbech and Gemar Masechta Yoma. It was like a buffer zone. Me'ikar Adin, no one is allowed to be in the Heichel when he goes in, but as a precaution, or even as it could be Me'ikar Adin, no one was allowed to be between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Is that correct? You mentioned Gemara?
Someone had to put in the
You're not allowed to be.
The Avodah's in the Heichel.
If there was in the Heichal, then you can't be in the Ula. There's always a buffer zone, one step out. But Yom HaKippurim, I'm not mistaken, Yom HaKippurim, because he did the Avodah there as well. He not only did go to the Kodesh HaKadosh, but he also led the Menorah. He did other things. If I'm not mistaken, there was no one allowed to be in between the Mizbeach and the Heichal when he came out from the Kodesh HaKadosh, into the Heichal, into the Ulam, and then outside. And even if they were, that doesn't take away from what I'm trying to say. Why do we use the expression the Mare Kohen? There's an old question, a philosophical question.
It's a little derogatory.
What derogatory? What?
To say the appearance of
God. What do you mean?
Yes, it is spiritual.
Right.
Who he is? Okay, yeah, very good. Maybe that can enhance what I'm trying to say. And that is. That is the old age philosophical question. If a tree crashed in the forest and there was no one there to hear the sound, the impact,
is there a sound?
How do you define sound? Does sound only relate to the ear, or the sound waves? If sound is called a sound wave, then there's a sound. But if the definition of sound demands that there be a recipient, someone on the receiving end, then there is no sound. Tree crashed in the forest. There's no one available. Is there a sound? This is a philosophical question. You could ask the same exact thing if a person is all dressed up with nowhere to go. Does he look beautiful? Okay? A woman gets dressed up in her finest Yom Tov clothing, puts on makeup, puts on everything, and she looks beautiful. Does she really look beautiful? If there is no one to see her, to see what she looks like. If there's no one to see what she looks like, is she beautiful? Oh, there's a mirror, the vanity. She looks at herself, right? She looks at herself in the vanity. When the Kohen came out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, where are the people there, not people there? Why do we use in the piyut the word Mare Kohen? It was the Mare of the Kohen. Let's say this was the Kohen. I don't know how to rephrase it in grammar, but let's say the Kohen was like a chosan, the chain that is on a chosan. All the different expressions. Kamare, was it kechesed hanitan al pnei hachosan? That's the Kohen. You don't have to say the word mare. Mare, what's mare? Mare almost has a sound like there was no one watching. There was no one there. But if there would be someone there, this is what it would look like. I'm being a little bit extreme in that. But what's the emphasis? Mare Kohen, Mare Kohen. And all I want to say is that, no, there is a Mare Kohen. The mirror is there. the kiyar is there. And when the kohen comes out of, by the way, what was the kiyar used for? Chazal say it was used for, as a mirror. When did you use it as a mirror? When a kohen had to speak to a woman. It's a shocking thing. People in the 21st century don't like to hear this. When a kohen had to speak to a woman comes, I have a karbon. You have a karbon. What avera did you do? Do you know what is required of you? So did the kohen actually look at the woman and talk to her directly? That's clear. L'chara, yes. L'chara, yes. There was no Yetzahara in the Mikdash. But we do know that when it came to the Saita, so the Gemara says that if the Saita was a pretty woman, they would not allow young Kohanim to participate in the service because they would have to, she would get undressed to a degree, and it's not proper they should see this. But the old Kohanim, who are more in control of the Yetzahara, they can see this. He touched her, right? So there were different things that you do. That there were different things which you do, and different things which you do and you do not do. But some of the Mefarshim tell us that in situations, in unique situations where it was a nisoyin for a koyein had an issue, he had a problem, a koyein because he had a very strong yetzahara. The technique was he would talk to the woman through the kiyar. The kiyar was a mirror. He would not look at her directly. He would look at her indirectly. How did that solve the problem? I guess the kiyar, that it was round, or maybe it was cloudy, a little bit cloudy, you would see clearly who you're talking to, but with not to the same clarity. It wasn't, you know, the new IPS touchscreen that has a billion pixels that is so perfectly clear. You would see what you need to see without added degree of Yetzirah that was not necessary.
Seeing a picture is not as direct as seeing the person.
Sometimes it's worse.
What?
Sometimes it's even worse. Because you look, when you look at a picture, no one's holding you back from not looking. When you look at a person directly, you're a little bit shy, you turn your gaze. When you look at a picture, it's even worse, I think. When you're looking at a woman, a very, very attractive woman, so you're looking at her, but you're not going to stare at her because she's saying, stop staring at me. You're embarrassed. She's going to turn. There's a human element. There's a human element. But when you're looking at a picture, no one is stopping you. You're looking right at it. You can stare at it all you want. No one's going to talk back to you. And if the picture is so crystal clear and is photoshopped to make it look better than the world of reality, you're in trouble. Craig, you're in trouble. So here, through the mirrors, you're looking at it. The mirror, the kiyar, there's a chazal that makes it very clear. The mirror is used to communicate with women in situations when there was a problem because of the Yetzirah. Not every time there was that an issue, but when there were issues of looking at women, then they would talk to them through the kiyar. Some say that the kiyar, so beautiful, the kiyar was the first selfie in the world. Today we have a smartphone, you take a selfie. Where did this come from? This is nothing new. This was in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? When you come into the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon, we want you to remember. You should see a picture of yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. How do you see yourself? I went to the Beis HaMikdash. When you pass the kiyar, you see yourself in the mirror against the backdrop of the Beis HaMikdash. The kiyar was one big mirror. So when you look at the kiyar, what are you looking at? You're looking at yourself against the backdrop. What's the backdrop? The Kohanim, the Mizbeach, the Korbanos, the activity in the Beis HaMikdash. That's like a picture. And that picture stays in your mind. It's better than looking. You look around. But when I look at the mirror and I see myself, you can't look at yourself. But when you look at it, when you see yourself against the backdrop of the Beis HaMikdash, that's a whole different thing. So there's no doubt that the kiyar was a mirror in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a mirror to use to communicate with women. It was a mirror that you should see yourself. You can't look at yourself. How do you look at yourself? Impossible. The only way you can look at yourself is by looking in the mirror. You look at the kiyar, you see yourself. You don't just see yourself. You see yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a powerful image that you see. It was a mirror. When the Kohen Gadol came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Azara, Mare Kohen, we're passing now like the Shita, that if a tree falls in the forest and there's no living creature in its vicinity to hear the impact, it still makes a sound. It still makes a sound. Because sound doesn't mean necessarily it has to be picked up by a receiver. If the in the airwaves, there's a sound, there's a sound. When the Kohen came out of the Kodesh HaKodesh into the Azara, he passed the Kiyar. He passed the Kiyar, there was a Mare. Whether he looked at himself or whether no one looked at himself. The fact that there was a reflection of himself existing when he passed the Kiyar, that is the Mare Kohen. It's not what a human being saw. There were no people there. And if there were people there, that's not relevant. The fact that he came out and passed the Kiyar, we're using a very unique word. And this word means a mirror. This is the word that it says here in the parasha, Bimarois Hatsoy Ve'ois. That's the word of the Piyut. And that's what it says over here. The Kohen Gadol passed the Kiyar. You pass the key, is passing a mirror. There is a mara. If someone is looking or not, that's irrelevant. But there's a mara. Why do we recite this piyut to say the word mara koyin 100 times? You know what the answer is? Because in the zechus of the noshim tzidkaniyos nigalu Yisrael nimitzrayim. And sometimes on Yom Kippur, the zechus of the men is not enough to survive. You need the zechus of the Noshim Tzidkoniyos to get through the next year. When the Kohen Gadol comes out, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all dressed, big day, who says that Klal Yisrael is worthy of another year? Another year to live, to survive. You got to pull out all your best stuff. Well, when we left Egypt, you know, that was also, we were slated to die in Egypt. Bizchus. Noshim Tzidkoniyos, Nig'alu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Miriam, Shifra Puah. The Maimori Chazal go on and on. The Kohen Gadol comes out, you think you're finished. You think you did the Dam, you brought the Dam. You brought the Sawyer, the Dam Apar, Dam HaSoyer. And you did all this amazing, amazing stuff with all these Kavanas for seven days. You think in your Schus, who says your Schus is good enough? Mare Kohen. You pass the Kiyar. The Kiyar is the Mare. There's a Mare Kohen when you come out. And who made that Mare? Who is the one who donated that Mare? Who? The Noshim Tzidkoniyos. So I'm trying to suggest, I don't know if it's a true word or not, but the recital of the Mare Kohen when you come out on Yom HaKippurim after it's all done is to give credit where credit is due. Don't think that you're going to survive this next year just because of your zuchusim. You have a partner? You have a wife? Someone that helped you out? Maybe it's in her zuchus. It's in the zuchus of the Mare Kohen. No one maybe saw the Kohen when he came out. Well, no. But there was a mirror. If there's a mirror, there's a Mare. Is there a sound? There's a sound. Who cares if someone has to hear the sound or not? There's a Mare. Who made that Mare? The Noshim Tzidkoniyos. The certain Rebbe, he did not let the Chassidim Dad, the build the base medrash. He did not inaugurate until they finished the Ezras Noshim. Because he says the Shari, every base HaKnesses has to have what he called the Shari Dimohos. Shari Dimohos Loi Ninalu. Women cry very easily. More easier than men. That's a mitzias. They're more emotional. It's, he called the Ezras Noshim the Shari Dimohos. Tfilah b'zman hazeh, knew the gates are closed, but the share dimois loy ninalu. So that's what it means over here. Let's try to just take this Rashi here of the Maris Hatsoyvois to explain what it means. Okay, let's do one more vart. A few more minutes we have left. Okay, this is a short vart. This is what, just a yeah.
Is somebody diving Marigold? I mean, you went so far and so deep. Nobody would think what you're saying. I mean, you know, Marco, I mean, the way he looked.
Exactly, I'm trying to connect to this parasha. That's the Jew. This is not necessarily Amita Shel Torah.
Yeah.
No, it's an idea. It's a very unique word. The Marois Hatsoivois. Why is it necessary in the Piyut to say Mare, Mare, Mare? Just say the Piyut in a way that you do, this is who he was. No, I'm trying to bring the two together to show we're trying to add a new dimension into the Koyach HaTzvila.
Nobody would have to think of that. I mean, Mark,
how the Kohen looked. The Pasuk Chumash. Okay, let me go to the... Let me tell you this one. This one is a little more loud. Not so much. Sorry.
No one else could
do that. We have a very Yisoyidistic Machlaikis. This is a Lama Shavar. Machlaikis from the Rambam and the Ramban. The Machlaikis says, what is the purpose of building a Mishkan? Is the purpose of building a Mishkan nothing more than a Hechsher Mitzvah? You build a beautiful structure, beautiful beautiful Beis HaMikdash with the krashim and the urias and the hooks and all the beautiful things. And then what? Just a building? Who cares if you have a building? You got to have people live in the building. People serve in the building. So what comes next? The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen. The clothing. The kelim. All of the various services. The Rambam holds the building of the Mishkan was not a mitzvah. The building of the Mishkan, of the structure of the Mishkan, was nothing more than a hechsher, a prerequisite to serve in the Mishkan. For the Kohanim, the clothing of the Kohanim is more of an ikar, I don't know the exact terms, but it's much more of an ikar than the building of the krashim and the urias and the structure. Because, very nice, a little beautiful, beautiful mikdash with an oroin and with a menorah and a shulchan and a mizbeach hazah, mizbeach hakitzan and a kiar and curtains and krashim and alukut zachin, the pareches, and what is it all worth? It's just a building. Just a building. Who cares? There are a lot of nice buildings that are empty today. The purpose of building, of doing this, is just to get you to the next state where now the koyhanim, dressed in their beautiful clothing, can come and serve, can bring korbanos, can bring ketores, can do the services that are required of them. In other words, there's no real mitzvah building the mikdash. Building the mikdash is not important. It's just a prerequisite. If you have a bris milah and you need to make a knife for the bris milah, is making the knife, you go to a smith and you make a knife, is that a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. That's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is the performance, is the act of bris milah. The making of the knife is just a hachana to the mitzvah. Correct? The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban holds, even if a kohen never steps into this structure, never once brings a carbon, never bring ketores, never walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no one ever walks into this place. It's locked up. Lock and key. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa in just the fact that this structure exists. This structure is a model, is a source of inspiration, regardless of the fact if someone actually comes in to do anything in this makam. If you have a knife, a bris milah knife, oh, just the fact hanging on the wall, it's a source of inspiration. So I have over here a very fundamental machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam. What is the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash? Is the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash a hechsher mitzvah? It's not significant in and of itself, or is it a mitzvah in and of itself? It's a place just to look at, to serve as inspiration that this is Hashem's dwelling, even if we don't actually serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's a very fundamental machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Who do we possibly like? L'chayra, they're both true. They're elements of both. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Where in halacha, where in the world of reality today do we actually see that the two are, that we pass like both? This week's parasha, verse, the last, really two weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, parashas Terumah and Tetzaveh are never connected. Doesn't exist. What do you learn about in parashas Terumah? The building of the structure. Nothing about the Kohanim. They're not mentioned. We don't want to know from the Kohanim at all. Okay, we don't want to know from the Kohanim at all. Parashas Tetzaveh. What do we do? Only the Kohanim. We keep the two completely separate. Like, who does that sound like? That sounds like the sheet of the Ramban. That each one is choshuv in its own right. On the other hand, Parshas Vayakel, now we're learning this week only one Parsha, but even though we learn only one Parsha, see, it's not really true what I was about to say, but let's wiggle it. Most of the time, we do lane Vayakel Pikudei together. They're merged, they're synthesized together. And thus, the fact that we... why do we put these two together? There are many other parashos that are a lot shorter and easier to put together. Let's put together Parashas Truma Tetzaveh. Let's put together Kisisa with Vayakel. Let's put together... There are many other ways in the year where we have an ability to go, where we have the ability to synthesize synthesize parashos together. Why these two? Because generally, we want to make a statement. Do not differentiate between the building of the Mishkan and the clothing of the Kohen, of the Kohanim. But the Kudei is the clothing, the fashioning of the clothing of the Kohanim. Vayakel, Vayakel corresponds to Truma. Pikudei corresponds to Tetzaveh. Generally, we don't separate them. We bring them together. Why? But Truma Tetzaveh, we separate them. Why? To bring out both elements. The Rambam and the Ramban. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's an element in building a Beis HaMikdash, just the structure, just to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlim is resting in this world. And there's an element in recognizing that no, Hashem coming, building a structure is just a building. It's just, that's not enough. A person has to actually be a participant in serving Hashem. When it comes to different, organizations, they give tzedakah. So a person gives $1 million to go build a koila. But he himself will never his whole life open up a gemara. I'll give $1 million for a koila, but I'm not giving you I'm not going to learn. Me learn? I can't learn. I'm not going to learn one word. That's wrong. That you learn by Yaakov Pekudei goes together. Giving $1 million is only for the purpose of learning, for building. Building a building is only for the purpose that you should learn also. You should also be a learner, not just a builder. But mitzada at Sheni, not everyone is cut out to sit and learn the whole day. I can't do what they do in that building. So does that mean that since I myself have no shaykhis, I can achieve the goal of what this building is meant for, I shouldn't go and support and appreciate that this thing is an inspiration for me, even though I do not have the ability to reach, to live the lessons that is in this building? Absolutely. Just because you can't achieve. There are times when it's separate, and there are times when they come together, because there's a Shitas HaRambam and a Shitas HaRamban. Is the building, the structure, only for one purpose, the goal to serve? Or is, no, even if I'm not going to serve, it's an inspiration of what it represents. They're both true. In a normal year, we do separate, Truma Tetzaveh, and then we merge them together. This year, maybe there's a lesson in this of itself. This year is a special year. We keep it separate. Almost as if to say, this year we're only going to follow the Ramban. Ramban will send you on vacation to the Caribbean. This year we're going to follow only the Ramban to appreciate just the fact that there is a structure that is dedicated to Hashem, even if we're not part of it, is significant in and of itself. Last two long, a few words, Bezalel was inaugurated to serve. And he did everything. Everything he did, the details are not to be imagined, how much effort, work, and toil he put into making the Mishkan. But yet he only gets credit for one thing. Vayas Bezalel es ha'orein. The only place where it says that Bezalel did something is the orein. It's not true, he did everything. It's clear as day from the beginning, in Parashas Kisisa, in Parashas that's a long psukim in this parasha also. It goes on and on and on to tell us all of his chachma to do this. And then halacha lemaisa, when it says what he did, what about the menorah? What about the shulchan? What about the mizbeach? What about the yirios? What about the cross? What about all the clothing? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What happened? The parasha goes on for 5 psukim telling us how brilliant he was and how he was the only one who possessed all the wisdom necessary to do everything. The answer is, at the end of the day, when a person wants to say, what's my legacy in life? What did I accomplish in this world? What did you do? I made a parnasa, a family. I did this, I did that, I built this moisset, I did build that moisset, I did all these amazing things in my life. The only thing that really is important is Vayas Bezalel es ha'orein. How much your chelik is what's in that orein, the Torah. That's the ikar. All of these things are very, very nice, and they're all very important, and they're all praiseworthy. But the end of the day, your legacy is Vayas Bitzalel Es Ha'oroin. The priorities are the Ikar. The priority has to be the Oroin HaKodesh. Mr. Neiman, I apologize to you. Chotasi or Visi. No, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. Please let me say my piece. I embarrass you, Barabin. I'm the one who's Mavuze. I'm sorry. You don't have to forgive me. I don't deserve to be forgiven, but I want to say to you in public, Chotasi or Visi Poshati. I will try to control myself to behave better, a better person. You should be gebenched with bracha and hatzlocha and nachas and all good zaken. Bekerev called is showing everyone over here. Have a wonderful Shabbos and Yom Tov Purim. Everything shalom al yisrael. Sorry.